That was bad. But we're back after our derby hideout. Wasn't actually a hideout. Just Sunday, we just decided we weren't feeling like filming. Like, it had nothing to do with, you know, trying to hide from the loss. It was just nobody wanted to get on, do whatever. Everybody having a lazy Sunday. But that being said, we're back now. We're going to have to get into it, but we've got our whole panel. We've got Ian, fresh off of his win of the Ascoli jersey from IFTV.
Let's go.
Yeah, you're going to have to put that on here when you get it.
I want to see as soon as I get it.
They're going to send you the little kids one. They're going to send you like the like toddler one.
Free kids, a free kid.
Yeah.
Can't complain.
Christo one-upping Ian with a headband now.
I'm doing my best impression of him. And, you know, unlike him, no, none of us won the Ascoli jersey. But, you know, we can share it at least.
I didn't even know there was a giveaway. So, I mean,
that's why you only won.
Yeah, exactly. But then we got Dave with the old head background back here, the Zamorano 1+8 jersey. I'm really
Yes, sir. You know, I'm just out here setting some bait for Lord Figo, you know. Every time I have a shirt on, he wants to come and ask me for the shirt, so I'm sure he's going to ask for this one. But I'm happy to be back, man. I'm happy to be back. Like you said, we didn't talk about the derby. That's something that we're definitely going to have to talk about in depth. And I'm glad that we have a win yesterday just to cushion it a little bit, you know, so we can see things more objectively as opposed to being more reactive, you know? So let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of worry after the derby. Everyone's looking at the fixture list and like, well, where do you rebound? And I guess it was the best possible rebound, you know, like a minute and a half in, Dzeko gets a goal. it soothes a lot of nerves. But I guess we do have to start with what nobody really wants to talk about. We do have to start with the derby. I'll start with you, Dave, and then I'll go. I think that's counterclockwise for me. So then Hristo, then Ian. How did you feel like afterwards? Was it like, you know, sky is falling, or was it just like the disappointment of slipping up for 3 minutes and that just decides your fate?
It's one of those moments where I was surprised, but yet again, I wasn't, you know, because we spoke about it on the pod, I guess, almost every episode, at least every other episode, how this team, they're wasteful, and it's okay to slide, well, to skate through for the most part in the league. Of course, that's why we're in the position that we're in, but in big matches and also in the Champions League, it's not going to be enough, you know. We were dominant for, what, 65, 70 minutes out of the 90. We got one goal out of all that dominance, countless chances I could to mention. And Milan, they just got two balls bounced their way, and, you know, they scored two goals, and the match was over. You know, after that, I didn't feel like the sky was falling by any stretch of the imagination because of the way we played. It's not like we went out there and we got dominated. We were uninspired and all of that stuff. Like, it was the usual enter, but it's just one of those matches where it didn't go your way. You know, like, if we go back in the season, we could look at countless matches that we could have lost or we could have drowned the same way of just being wasteful, and somebody could have had a goal or somebody could have pretty much even beaten us. You know, it just happened to be that time where all those things that we've been talking about that could have gone wrong, Andanovic being old, the defense being wasteful. I mean, not the strikers being wasteful, the Vrij being not in the best of form. All of those things which we've spoken about at length in the podcast, all of these things happened in one day, and that's why we lost. The odds of that happening again are slim to none, in my opinion, so that's why I'm kind of calm. I'm pretty confident going forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this team bounce back after losses, and they didn't disappoint this time either after a loss. But Hristo, derby thoughts?
Awful match, awful second half. I mean, I don't agree that we dominated the 70 minutes that they spoke about. I think it was less than that, but I would say the majority of the match we were in possession and we had the upper foot. We have been talking about our inability to score goals and our inability to, you know, convert those easy chances, you know, the Lautaro chances, as we have pointed out so many times. And we didn't convert those. What happened was, you know, a few defensive mistakes, a few abysmal, you know, positionings, and a lot of luck from Milan to score those goals. I just hope that, you know, we can bounce back off of that, because Napoli, it's the next match. The weekend is huge, huge opportunity to, you know, bounce back. And if we win against Bologna, you still have 4 more points above Milan, more than Milan. So even if they won, or even if they, even us losing, that did not make them, you know, leapfrog us. So I just hope that we can bounce back to, and you have and we'll have a great match against Napoli, because that's a 6-pointer for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that annoyed me, was that, you know, if we had played Bologna, or if we had been awarded the points, which, I mean, you know, whether you believe that should have happened or not, if there had been those 3 points there, no one would have been talking about this as massively as they are, you know, looking at the table, seeing 1 point of difference between the two teams. That was really annoying. Ian, I'm going to wrap up the derby disappointments, and then we'll see what everyone has to say in the comments, so they can have their say as well.
It's been disappointing, yeah. I see Mattia here speaking his thoughts on Interpol. Like, I mean, the first, 55, 60 minutes or so were really, really good, I think. Like, it was probably some of the best liquid football and pressing we've seen from this team, just the end product, which is, you know, the thing we've been talking about the whole season, you know. I think, like, sooner or later, Lautaro and Dzeko were going to run out of luck. Both hit the same mental block in one day, you know. It was inevitable to happen, seeing how streaky they both are with their scoring. Like, they score for three games straight, and then like 5 games nothing, you know. So other than that, like, I mean, the first 55-60 minutes were great for me. Until the end, it was abysmal. I wanted to gouge my eyes out. It was really bad. I mean, first of all, Theo Hernandez, fuck you. I really despise that guy now. He's just a little brat, a little shit, you know. I just want to strangle him, but okay, let's leave that for later. No, but yeah, it just seems like we didn't have an answer to what Milan were doing. We didn't have an answer for either their press or their creativity. That was something that kind of bothered me. And it seemed like with Conte gone, like we kind of lack the killer instinct, you know. I don't know, it seems like with Inzaghi, everything's a bit more relaxed, even when it shouldn't be. I don't know. If some players wanted, they could have, like, mentally put themselves over. But look, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, undone by a few bad minutes. I thought that we played really well for most of the match, and like all of you kind of alluded to, it was the stars aligning of the three flaws that we talk about the most with this Inter team. It's the goalkeeper, it's like just one or two moments of bad positioning by the defense, and then it's the strikers not striking, and all of that lined up, and here we are now. I want to get to this too. Mr. Jesus, here still with the 80s fashion. Yeah, it almost looks a little cheetah print-ish. Digging it.
Maybe I'm trying to, you know, lure some players in instead of signing for the rivals. But what Ian said made a lot of sense. You know, we have pointed out towards the importance of having a player like Theo Hernandez, like a few weeks ago, a player that can make something out of nothing, in the sense that, you know, he knows how to fall, and he was falling a lot.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think that was one of the main and key difference makers, which, you know, sadly or not, it's a mean to win a match, and they did achieve that goal. Another point, as Mike said, you know, we spoke about De Vrij too. You know, he seemed like he wasn't in his head, in his mind, he wasn't 100% here. And he was the one that made a crucial mistake, as well as Handanovic. But I think, you know, everything that we have said so far, it was building up, and, you know, it turned out to be at least some of it true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to add, I feel like, of course, the derby, it turned on his head pretty much when Inzaghi started making his substitutions. They were too early, and also in the nature of the substitutions themselves. You know, Hakan, you don't take him off. The way this guy was playing, especially with what you have as a replacement, I understand that he's naturally an attacking midfielder, and he's playing out of position as a mezzala. And sometimes the work that he does, all the running, all the tackling, all that, it takes energy out of him, and he may be tired towards ends of matches. But this is not the match that you take this guy off, regardless of whether he has a yellow card or not. I mean, it's a derby. This is a match that, you know, is full of intensity and full of challenges. So I'm sure that having one of your midfielders with a yellow card is not a cause of alarm to go ahead and go panic mode and make sure you have to take him off, or he's going to get sent off. And guess who you put on when you take him off? You put on Arturo Vidal. You know, so this is a guy that's reliable to get mad and get a straight red. Fuck being on the yellow. But his substitutions were very disappointing. So I don't want to say that we didn't have an answer for what Milan were doing or their press or whatever. They were not doing anything amazing, in my opinion. Again, like, I just saw that they had those two attacks. And those two attacks, everything else was pretty much basic football or nothing elaborate at all, you know. So that's why it kind of stings a little more, you know, just losing a match, you know. It's literally losing it. We lost it, as opposed to them, you know, beating us. You don't feel like when you lose a match, for example, in the match we lost against Real Madrid, nobody was out here feeling too sour, because at the end of the day, they showed their class. We lost a goal from Toni Kroos, and that second goal was beautiful as well. You know, but when you lose a match where you don't feel like you're the second best and you feel like you made mistakes, it does linger a little longer. I guess all in all, we're lucky that the squad showed that they reacted the best way possible. You know, it's not a league match, but of course a Copa match. The next time you come out, the next time you play, you show that you're motivated, and from the first minute, second minute, scoring goal. What else can you ask from a team? You know, I'm just more, that much more confident of Napoli right now.
Yeah, I mean, the core of this team is something I've never been worried about mentality-wise. Like, we know all of these guys are, a lot of them are veterans. All of them are professionals. That 90% of them know what it takes to win, have won, have been there in the big moments now. So that wasn't as much an issue to me as just worrying about, you know, whether or not we were going to keep on this like scoring drought of like one goal and then sitting back. But I mean, even against Roma, there were times that we looked like, you know, straight up conserving energy, which, I mean, still makes sense at this point. I mean, we're still looking ahead, but yeah, I thought the subs were too early. DeMarco on for Perisic. That's where I started really getting worried. And if you notice, we haven't seen DeMarco since. He didn't start in the Copa. He didn't come on in the Copa. Darmian ended up shifting to the left. D'Ambrosio played at the center of defense when Bastoni went down. You know, Skriniar went to the left. Like, I think it's going to take some time for DeMarco to earn that trust back, it looks like, and going into this thing. And I wanted to point out this comment that I've had up for a while from Mattia. I really do agree with this, that this team has shown that they're much better when they're trailing, at least in the league. Because when you look at early in the season, there was the Fiorentina match, Sassuolo. I think there were a couple more where we were playing from behind. And when you got to the second half, Hellas Verona was another one. And this team was just overwhelming. But when we take that lead first, it seems like the intensity doesn't stay as high. it seems like the attack, which already isn't razor sharp, loses even a little bit more sharpness. I don't know what's up with that. Any of you guys can take that if you wanna add on or give me something.
I think I want to add on something real quick. I think it also it's also a matter of when we're actually trailing, you know. Because for example, if we concede in the first half, for the most part, I'm sure we all feel like okay, at the very least, we're gonna come back in the game and score a goal and tie, you know. But the last match against Milan, the derby. I don't know about you guys. I can't speak for you guys, but me personally, at the time that the second goal went in, when Handanovic just pretty much flopped it in, I knew that that game was over, because when you look at the pitch, it's like Inzaghi already broke the team. You know, like he already packed everything in. You don't have Hakan, you don't have Perisic, which I guess was the only excusable sub in my opinion, because apparently he asked to be subbed off. So I was upset about that. That's something that I didn't know. I was wrong about that, but everything else is something that he pretty much dropped the ball on. But yeah, that was just my long-winded way of just saying that, hey, when you look at the team and you see you don't have Hakan out there, you don't have Perisic, and then I think he subs off Brozo despite us being down 2-1 to bring on who? Vecino. Like, so at that point, you know, like, I don't think that nobody expected us to even chase any league or come back. The only chances we had, it was DeMarco just pretty much floating balls in the atmosphere, you know. So other than that, it's like nobody really had hope. So I guess it's a matter of if we're trailing early and we still have our first team in, we know that we could create chances. We know that we're going to create goal. We know that if we have the urgency of, okay, we're trailing, we're going to find a way to score. But if we already packed it in, then it's really much nothing that we can do about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, once we don't have, you know, the playmaking depth. I mean, a lot of teams don't, unless you're, you know, one of the most rich teams in the world where you have three full first teams on your bench. I mean, we don't have that. Yeah. So once you start packing it in, you better 100% be packing it in, putting 10 in the box. Nobody better be scoring against you, because you're kneecapping yourself in a way to try to give yourself some stability, some security at the back.
So do you think then because of that, just piggybacking off what you said about the playmaking depth, do you think that letting Sensi lead to Sampdoria, was that a mistake then in that case?
On the face of it right now, when you see what Sensi did in his first match at Sampdoria, maybe you could argue that. But if you look at it in the long run, where maybe he comes back to Inter, maybe next season, you know, he is part of that depth, part of that squad that we need, then him going out and finally getting playing time and getting, you know, regular playing time and becoming a real player again, a real fit, smart footballer again, like, it's not that bad on the face of things. But like, yeah, looking at it right now, but I mean, what's he going to do if he's just sitting on the bench for 75 minutes, 80 minutes every match and not gaining that fitness that he needs, because he's not going to get it ahead of Calhanoglu, Barella, or Brozovic. So, I mean, that was something that to me was necessary, because either you're going to sell him or you're going to bring him back, and what he, you know, regains at Sampdoria, his confidence, his fitness, all of that you need. Like, he's not going to get that here. So it just kind of is what it is with Sensi to me.
The biggest mistake was not buying or getting a sub. A substitution for him. I think there was a perfect opportunity to get Sergio Oliveira that went to Roma on loan from Porto, and you know, it was a perfect signing. Considering it was a low budget option on a loan, he's someone that's always fit, and he was someone that we needed, or at least someone like him. So if I could pinpoint one problem, I would say the biggest one is, or the main one, is not getting a substitution for Sensi.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, what a lot of people wanted, but working with the Gosens deal, getting in Caicedo. I don't know how much more time or, you know, ideas they had. I know Beppe has always got ideas, but I don't know how feasible it was at that point. I mean,
yeah,
Oliveira was already gone. I mean, what else are you going to do? I saw like Zirdan Shaqiri sign for like Chicago Fire in the MLS today. I mean, you could have tried to do something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He was with Lyon just a few days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything all season. So,
yeah.
You know, if anything, that was a win. That was a win for Lyon because they, I think Chicago Fire actually even paid a transfer fee. You know, so.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah. Banter era legend right there. Hulk hero.
We didn't get
a solid trip.
Dave, we didn't get your opinion on Gosens and the signing of Gosens last week or. When we recorded, so I need that. I need the positivity right now.
I'm sure you guys see me all over Twitter, man. This is a guy that I've always loved. This is a player that once we've committed to the 3-5-2 and you start looking at players, not even around the league, but all around the world, Gosens is the number one as far as left wing backs. And I've gone back and done some research as well. There's the guy from Dortmund for a couple of years. He was good. Guerrero, I think his name is, the Portuguese guy. That's another guy that was a good left wing back. But other than that, the numbers that Gosens is putting in, the work that he puts in on the pitch, up and down the pitch, this guy's a machine. So that's a perfect signing. At the price, at the deal as well, is something that is Beppe masterclass. That's something that really, really we needed, especially after watching Vlahovic go to Juve the way he did. You know, so that was kind of a calming blow. And that's something that it shows that we're not dead. You know, that's an investment in the future. Before we started recording, I read that we're actually the negotiations with Perisic are actually progressing as well. So can you imagine? That means we might end up with both Gosens and Perisic on the left rotating. So that means that this team is actually improving as opposed to being dismantled like we all were afraid of like last summer. So that's very good news for Inter fans. And I'm sure that the Gosens signings it symbolizes that amongst other things.
Yeah. I mean, it shows how smart this management is. And if Perisic stays, I think that, in a way, is a statement of intent from him that he still wants to win more at Inter. Because if you're willing to, you know, step aside or accept the challenge of having the best wingback in the league that's not you, that is younger, that is, you know, the hottest prospect. I mean, that you're helping the team and you're also giving yourself a challenge there. I would really respect that if he did that. And speaking on that news, there was also, I think, a little bit of Brozovic news. You know, the two sides are still really close. You know, everyone still seems consensus that's going to go through at some point.
But I mean, but there are still some hints of Barcelona. You know, I don't like that at all. You know, because we've already read, several articles of, they're announcing the Brozo renewal after this match. Oh no, they're going to announce it after that match. So it's been months that the deal was supposedly almost done or close. So I am confident. I'll say still 75-80% confident that he stays at Inter. But the fact that it's taking so long to be announced, that tells me that at least there's some doubt there or at least there's some serious consideration being given to another team. So, I mean, I don't like – it's not something that I would like to happen, but – do not be surprised if he does slip through our fingers and then you see us end up with Kessié, all right? Because we've been working on that. It's not something I want, Risto, but just reading news, we've been working on Kessié for a reason, you know, and of course, we're not going to bring the guy in on high wages to be a bench player. So maybe we've been working on him for that reason, you know, because we're not sure that we're going to be able to bring Brozo back. So don't be surprised if that happened. I want us to keep Brozo and bring in Agume, but don't be surprised if it doesn't happen.
Yeah. I'm not going to worry until, you know, something comes out about like talks actually breaking down. As long as they're at this point, like I have full confidence that, you know, Inter can do whatever it takes to push it that much more over the line. Maybe they don't want to if they don't have to, but I feel like if it gets to that point that they will, because I mean, that is the backbone of that midfield. I do want to get this more comments because there were some more further down that I wanted to get to. But I want to give everybody, you know, their fair shake. Interpol, I like he out with the stats. He's a big stats guy over at Serpents of Madonina. Despite the Derby loss, it's important to keep in mind, still lead the league in goals scored, goal differential, and fewest losses in the league.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that is important. And we could have even more goals and an even bigger goal difference if, you know, we were putting in just a couple more chances, if Handanovic had that extra, you know, 6 inches of acceleration or whatever you want to call it, jumping off of him, you know, it could be so much more. But it is what it is. We got Ricky Buzz in the house. What's up? We got Bernard, our finance guy in the house. What's up?
What's up, Bernard?
He has a question, too. Very relevant to something happening in about 15 minutes. Do you guys prefer Milan or Lazio in the Coppa final?
Semifinal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Semifinal. Yeah.
Semifinal.
Yeah. All right. Who's taking it?
Lazio. Fuck them. We don't know them anything. Everyone's saying on the timeline, oh, we should get revenge. Fuck that. You want to win the trophy? Do it the easy way. Why do you always have to prove, oh, it's not a real trophy if you don't beat the best? Fuck that. A trophy's a trophy. It's like saying the Mickey Mouse tournament in NBA when lockdown happened. Fuck that.
Lakers, okay, you're a chip. Lakers fan. Let's not go there.
Yeah. Fuck that. Chip's a chip.
No, I'm not on that boat. I want Milan, actually. I'm going to find one of my mini jerseys and paint my blue stripes red. And hopefully they can do the work and we can see them. I think, or the semi is still two legs, or is it did they change it back to one?
Yeah, it's two legs,
right? So yeah, that's two more derbies that we get. And of course, for personally, for an Inter Twitter member, I want my bragging rights back. So yeah, I want them. Of course, Lazio will probably be the easier opponent, which is not even guaranteed because they played us very tough both matches. But I want two more derbies, especially the way the latest one went. Despite the fact that we lost it, that was a very good derby. That was intense. They had the extracurricular activities. Players were fighting. Players got suspended. Fans were fighting in the stands. I mean, this is what we like about derbies. So I'm never gonna pass up on two more of those, especially when I, in my heart, believe that my team is better and we lost by mistake. So, yeah, I want two more chances to show them, and then I want to see what they got to say.
Risto?
The two of you made some really great points, but if I had to choose one or the other, I would go with Milan too. Because at the end of the day, none of them would be an easy opponent. Now that Acerbi is back for Lazio and they're a more stable team with him, Lazio have a really, really good midfield and a very good attack. And Milan doesn't have both. So the chances are that we can beat Milan, especially now that everyone is so, you know, revenge mode activated. Bastoni, Çalhanoğlu, I don't know, Inzaghi, the whole team, because all of them.
Skriniar, because Skriniar got upset though at the end of that match. So I'm sure Skriniar would love to get another piece of Theo Hernandez. You know, Dumfries. Oh my god.
Playing at home both matches. Yeah, you know, it
that's crazy. Sorry to cut you off. The thing is with those derbies, don't forget your thought. The thing with those derbies is like you always think that okay, after the second derby, no matter how heated it gets or whatever, it's whatever because they're not gonna see each other again for another year. But having the opportunity to probably see each other again in a couple of weeks, that's just crazy. You know, but go ahead, bro.
Yeah, but like playing both, you know, matches on the same field, although it neutralizes the advantage, we're still playing some awesome football at Meazza. So chances are we have, you know, higher chances of winning the match or winning the leg outright. So hopefully, I think we'll go to the final either way, but I want Milan as well.
How about you, Mikey?
You know, I'm really on the fence. I've watched the last two derbies with two Milanisti from Milan, and it has not gone well either time. You know, we had the draw and now this, and I had to sit there and watch them celebrate running through their house. And it, I don't know if we get Milan, you know, I do in the back of my head, I want Milan because I feel like we've been hard done by in the past two derbies. Like, I think at least Inter is due, if not already being the best team in that matchup. You're also due because you've had two bad results go against you. So I think they could turn it around. I think I'd take Milan. It would be much more fun. I mean, it would be more memorable either way. You're going to remember a semifinal against Milan more than you're going to remember a semifinal against Lazio. Yeah. Even though, you know, there are a few storylines with Lazio this season. So, yeah, fuck it. Give me Milan, I guess.
Y'all can stress out however you like. I'm going to sit back while we hammer Lazio like this. And you can get stressed with your Milan shit.
Oh, someone please clip this when we lose to Lazio, like 4-0 both legs.
Oh, stop.
Minute.
Bernard says he wants Lazio as well to answer his question.
No, he said he wants Milan.
Oh, I thought he said Lazio. I can't read. You know what?
Yeah, so, Ian, you definitely outvoted here, buddy. It's probably in 20 minutes we're going to find out what happens. So we better make sure we wrap up in 20 minutes because I'm not missing 1 minute of the match.
All right, well, we'll go ahead and power through this, and then I want to get some Coppa thoughts about the match yesterday. Interpool, Inzaghi's Inzaghi's aggressive approach to making wary subs is such a double-edged sword. Sometimes it works out brilliantly, but when it doesn't, the approach looks dumb. Yeah, but the thing, yeah, he does make earlier subs. We've talked about that before. Yeah. But usually, like, I don't know. They aren't subs that make me worry the way that, I mean, Perisic asked because he had a calf cramp. But, you know, DeMarco for Perisic, I mean, there you can maybe get away with just that. But once you do that, then you bring on Vidal, then you bring on Vecino, you're not asking to win. You're just not. You can do that in some circumstances. But, yeah, this is one of the ones where we did get played by it. Mattia talking about Napoli coming up. Napoli away without Inzaghi and Bastoni. Yeah, that's gonna be tough. I'm sure we'll get to that. comparing Brozovic for Vecino to Icardi for Santon. I think I did that in a group chat, but I did that in a group chat, not in the public, because I don't know. I felt like I was a little overreactive at that point, but I'm glad someone else was thinking.
You're spot on.
I need to see whether I have still those rage tweets that I tweeted after the loss about him and Handanovic. So pissed.
Interpool, not worried about it. Then we have Mattia, who is worried about the Brazo renewal. I still think that's gonna be fine. It is what it is. We'll get to yesterday now. 2-0 win. It seemed pretty easy at points. It was actually pretty slow at points. Ian, how did it feel? Is it successful bounce back or still like looked a little bit like something that needed to be improved on?
I'll be honest, I was studying whilst having the game on the TV, so I just heard the commentator, so that I can't comment on it. I saw the Dzeko goal. I thought it was a peach. I saw the Sanchez goal. I thought it was a beauty. And I heard D'Ambrosio made some blocks, saves. Fine with me. Life is good.
Yeah, win in all aspects for Ian, I guess. Hristo, bounce back or still something that needs to be improved upon?
I think it's a bounce back for sure because, you know, we started off so well and scoring within the first 2 minutes is a statement, that we needed so badly. It's something that we, you know, craved for after the Roma match. And if it was a Serie A match instead of a Coppa Italia, then it would have been, you know, perfect. But we still have some things to look forward to this weekend. But as a bounce-back match, which I think it was nearly perfect because Roma were not threatening Inter or Handanovic's goal. We, I think, cruised. And as Dave said, you know, when you don't have that positivity, which there was a lack of after Milan scored the second goal. And, you know, we as fans knew or had an indication too that we were going to lose that match. It was a complete opposite yesterday. You know, when we scored the first goal, I was like, there's no way we are considering, you know, more than a goal, even if we considered, you know, a goal. But it was an amazing match, an amazing display. The only, you know, downside is that we actually lost Bastoni.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he will be available for Milan for Liverpool. I highly doubt it. But that's the only downside. And, you know, now we have seen Skriniar within, you know, 10 days as a right center back, a center back, and on the left side. So we keep seeing the progression of Skriniar, and I'm so happy about him and the future that he has at the club.
Yeah, and I know Dave has the third kit this season with Skriniar on the back. And then Skriniar goes and puts up that highlight, the goal line clearance, even though it was, you know, offsides. And then he gives the biggest celebration of any of the goals even that were scored yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on that and the match in general.
Oh, well, first off, I want to talk to Ian, our stats guy, our resident stats guy. I want to know our stats when we have that third kit on, because I don't remember us losing ever. I remember us maybe drawing one, but I think we won every single match we in that kit, you know? So
whenever D'Ambrosio plays and we have the third jersey, we win. That's the only stat that matters.
I didn't say anything about D'Ambrosio. I didn't say anything about D'Ambrosio. Yeah. See, you know what? Never mind. We're gonna get another stats guy, okay? but my thoughts, I'm riding with Risto, man. I felt like this match we came out exactly the way we needed to. It's like it's a matter of like, okay, we lost a match that we felt like we didn't need to we didn't deserve to lose. We had all this pent up anger and frustration, and as Inzaghi mentioned, we're gonna use that frustration and take it out in the Copa match. We scored literally with our first chance that we created. Talk about wasteful. So that's pretty much showing that, okay, we understand that the issue, we understand we're not focused enough, we're not concentrating enough on all of our chances, we waste too much. So first chance, boom, goal. 5 minutes after that, Barella right off the crossbar. And then another couple of minutes after that, we had a corner, Skriniar open header, almost scored as well. So those three moments told me, okay, you know what? They came out with the right attitude, and that's exactly what I needed. I was never really worried about Roma. They had a couple instances where Nyola shot a half chance, I guess I'll say, usually to Andanovic, who, thank God, he got down and saved it. Other than that, it was all us, in my opinion, you know, until Sanchez actually came in and did what we should have done against Milan, got the second goal and sealed the deal. I'm sure at this point it was just a matter of, okay, let's just give old Jose his little farewell too, and let's be nice to him and stuff, because this match was over as far as a competitive standpoint, you know. So yeah, that's definitely the way I wanted the Copa to go. Personally, I did ask for more rotations, and I hate to come beating my own drum. Maybe that would have prepared us Bastoni, because I did definitely say, you know, just like we did against Empoli, I want to see Ranocchia in there. I want to see D'Ambrosio. I want to see DeMarco, everybody. You know, that's what I personally would have done. You know, but I understand the reason why Inzaghi did it. We needed a reaction from the first team players, and we used this match to do so. Unfortunately, we did lose Bastoni, because Bastoni is not a small loss. You know, we're gonna make do. We're gonna probably gonna shift either Skriniar there and play De Vrij and D'Ambrosio, or personally, I'll probably try Darmian there. You know, but it hasn't been practiced enough, so I doubt it's gonna happen. So it's likely to be De Vrij, but D'Ambrosio and Skriniar, with Skriniar playing on the left against Napoli. And as far as Liverpool goes, I'll go as far as saying that I really don't care whether he plays it or not. If it's not 100%, I wouldn't play him at all, you know, because I'm very competitive, as you guys know. I'm always about, okay, let's go try to win, let's give our best. But realistically speaking, we were already big underdogs for facing Liverpool, and without Barella and Bastoni, it makes it even that much tougher, you know. So let's just play the players that are available and that are fit. Let's give our best, and our best is most likely not going to be enough. And then let's keep it moving. We have other priorities anyway. So if that means that, if Bastoni's injury means that we get to focus on the priorities sooner, so be it. You know, I was reading about Gosens earlier. He's coming back very soon. So that's something to look forward to, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I know Bastoni, like everything that's been said today, has been that he is looking to try to come back for the first leg of Liverpool, which I agree that, like, if he's not 100%, like, even if he's like 90, 95%, no, there's no reason. So, yeah, I would save him. But that would be a good sign, because that means he would be back for Sassuolo, which, you know, they can always cause Inter an issue. So I think it's 100% he's gone for Napoli. There's also the issue of his suspension. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think that's going to get appealed. I don't know if anything's going to happen. Maybe they knock it down to one match.
Yeah,
you never know with the Italian federation, because, you know,
just talk about the suspension for a second.
Oh, let's put our tinfoil hats on.
No. It's just bullshit, man. Bonucci threatens an Inter employee and chokes him, or whatever.
Literally puts his hands on him. Yeah.
Says he's gonna kill him. Yeah.
Nothing. I can't even remember. I saw the tweet, but like some other stuff happened. They all got suspensions. Bastoni, what did he say? He said the ref did a bad job, or did he say "fuck you"? Shit like that. Two game suspension.
I don't know exactly what he said.
Bonucci said, Bonucci or Chiellini says to a referee on a daily basis in pleasantries.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I mean, okay, I guess, yes, seniority, because they're so much older, that's a big thing in Italy. Mm-hmm. Like, you even see it with players, like, when they're really older, they get more respect and get away with more shit. But, yeah. Like, dude, he said, fuck you, which everyone says every time. I don't even think in Italy it's that big of a deal to say cazzo to someone, you know? It's just mind-boggling, man. It's, I don't know.
Personally, like, it's not like I want to make sure, like I said, I don't condone it, you know, especially if you're off the pitch, you're not playing or whatever, the game is over, it's not going to change anything. Same for Lautaro going after Theo Hernandez, you know, even if it was provoked as well, you know. I don't condone acting a fool like that, but the inconsistency is shocking, you know. I think Nima had a tweet. I think that's the tweet you're talking about, Ian, where he brought up Bonucci. He brought up Theo Hernandez, who actually, he got a straight red for violent behavior, for a violent tackle.
Yeah, that's automatically two matches.
That's usually...
Yeah, in the rule book, football, it says two matches.
The football I watch, the rule book, I know. I thought that's automatically two matches. I don't know how it's one match. I don't know, man. The inconsistency is there. And, of course, Roma fans got some gripe as well for... Or maybe if it's just bad luck, I don't know what you want to call it. They seem like they're always getting hard done by as well. But it's just the inconsistency with me, man. But this little lack of discipline that we saw against Lazio and that we saw again today, we need to get a grip on that, because it wouldn't happen last year under Conte. So we're all happy about Limone. Limone is like a friend. Limone is our buddy. Limone plays with us. He's like
Limone
a player.
Limone needs to kill someone.
there has to be discipline. Yeah, this team is showing there's a hint of lack of discipline. Like, you lose your head. That cost us a match against Lazio, and we saw...
Barella against Liverpool now.
Costas Barella against Liverpool as well. You know what? So this little indiscipline issues, it needs to be fixed. You know, so I don't know how it's gonna happen, but I see it and I notice it.
Yeah. I mean,
I just found the tweet. So Theo got a straight red for a bad foul and provokes the crowd, 1 match suspension. Zaniolo, straight red for insulting referee, 1 match. Bonucci physically assaults and threatens to kill an Inter staff, 0 matches. Bastoni, no red card and insults referee, 2 match suspension.
Inzaghi got a suspension there too. I don't know what he did for that
Inzaghi
one. I guess
got the fine as well.
Yeah, I guess it was among the same type of conduct, I would imagine, saying something to a ref. But yeah, not a good look. Everyone does it, but not an excuse. You know, you need to be the better team. You don't want to put yourself in that unnecessary risk of losing players.
Honestly, like you said, we always like to put our little 10-4 hats on. Like, I got mine on. That's got to be something when we sign a player. You know, we got to, like, whoever our signings are for, let's say, the summer mercado or the winter mercado, we have to bring them all in together, bring them into a room, sit them, play them a tape, and explain to them, hey, listen, you're playing for Inter in Italy. Whatever you do is going to be, whatever your violation, you're going to get the maximum punishment. If there's something 50-50, it's going to go against you. You have to, I mean, personally, I would do it. Like, listen, historically, this league, that's how they treat us. So you need to know that. And Dumfries could have used something like that. And maybe we wouldn't have that penalty against Juve. You know, because I feel like it was a naive penalty from Dumfries. He's just playing ball, you know, but he doesn't know that the slightest little chance they get to give him a chance, they will give him a chance. But yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I'm not sure why that isn't a thing now where you're like, all right, can you deal with extra circumstances that, you know, you don't have at your club now that you wouldn't have at most clubs that you would go to? Can you deal with that? Like, that should be like a screening, like interview question. Like, come on now.
Yeah, test the mentals if they got the mental for Inter.
Yeah. So I guess we move along now to Napoli.
I just have a fun fact. Since Pastor Dave appointed me to stats man, I've been doing some research. 6 matches we played in our third kit this year. 1-0 win against Torino. 2-0 win against Roma. 3-0 win against Roma. 3-2 win against Napoli. 2-0 win versus Empoli. And 6-1 win versus Bologna. 6 matches, 6 wins.
What I tell y'all, what I tell.
Can we just wear that for the rest of the season?
Listen, I just remember every time they got this kid on, it's a victory. I do still remember a draw as well.
16-3.
That's crazy. Like this is like our special jersey, man.
I can remember most years the third kit, like when we have it on, we're like, oh god. Like I remember the like gray kind of slate. It was like
the play. The cross.
Yeah, it was the play on the red cross one. That one I don't think we won in. I remember DeMarco scored his screamer for Parma with that one on. That one was.
Remember the Sprite?
I have the Sprite. I love the Sprite.
We know, Mikey.
I love the Sprite. We lost to Southampton away. We lost to like Apoel Beersheva away in that one.
At least Inter legend. Gabi goal. He scored his only Inter goal, I think, in the Sprite kit. So
against Bologna, yes. I woke up at 6 a.m. for that one.
Take that for data.
Okay, Smiley right here. Smiley says we lost to Real in the third kit.
Yes. That's the one I remember. We lost. Either that's the one negative result, either a loss or a draw. But yeah, if we did.
But that's not the league. I don't count that.
Yeah, I guess in the league that doesn't count. That's right, Smiley. Take that.
So Napoli next. Osimhen's gonna be back. Did you see? I just want to kick it off with this. Did y'all see Osimhen's remarks about like that injury, like what he said about like what happened? That he heads Skriniar, and he said that once he hit like his face hit Skriniar's head, he heard his face explode. Like word for that's what he said. Like
God damn, bro. I'm screaming, so I can't even picture this stuff, bro. Like it's you went against the cyborg. I'm sorry.
That guy's got a hard head. I don't want to know what that man's head's made out of.
Technically, he's the one that should have been the victim because Osimhen was the one actually heading into him. So his head was like
it was pretty like, still, yeah.
Still, exactly. And it's still that's crazy. I mean a hard object, man.
Yeah, that man is a unit. But he's back. Of course Bastoni will be out. Last time we played Napoli, we were missing De Vrij. Ranocchia played in the center of defense, so we didn't have the full back three for that match either. I mean, I guess you could argue that missing Bastoni is a bigger miss because he's, you know, equal parts center back, playmaker, striker. Like, he does way too much in this team. So that's going to be a big miss. But I'm really, you know, this could be clipped and I could be laughed at, but I'm not really too worried. I know I saw a stat, I don't know, Ian may be able to verify this, but that Inzaghi has not won in Naples. So that would be, you know, that would be something of a little bit of a red flag, but yeah. I don't worry too much about it. You know, we got the bounce back win against Roma. The last time we lost, you know, we ran off however many wins it was after Lazio. So do you think it's going to be something like that?
Personally, I'm not as confident, but I do feel like we're not going to lose. You know, that's one thing. If we look at the form, of course, they're starting to fall back into it. What happened, Mikey? But yeah, if you look at the, it seems like they're starting to pick up form. They had Osimhen. Osimhen finally scored. I think it was like his second or third match back. They're looking like they're ready. You know, they struggled a bit against Venezia, but they got the job done. I'm sure they'll be ready. They have a full team. They have Koulibaly will be back. They have Anguissa back, so they have a full squad ready to play us with Osimhen. So I think that the fact that we are missing Bastoni is going to be an issue as far as going forward, you know. But defensively, we have the players, I think, to cover it up. We're probably going to play Skriniar there, like we mentioned, De Vrij in the middle and D'Ambrosio on the right. We should be fine, you know. But it's a match that's going to be won and lost in the midfield, in my opinion. It's going to be depending on whether our midfield could outperform theirs. I personally have been on record in saying that I think theirs is the best midfield in the league when it's healthy and it's fit, which is debatable in comparison to ours. But having Barella in the form that he seems to be in already?
No. I just said Lazio is on. I mean, it's starting.
Okay. I thought you said he scored. You see, even Ian.
Yeah. I was like, what? Because I've got it.
What's
right
wrong
here
with this guy? I'm like, it's not even starting yet. Yes. But it still made me lose my train of thought anyway. But the Napoli match, yeah. I feel like won and lost in the midfield. If Barella could carry on his form that he was in and against Roma, he was the star of the match for me. Barella, Brozo, and Hakan, if they can outperform Anguissa, Zielinski, and Fabian Ruiz, then that's when the match will be won and lost. And of course, Lautaro seems to always gets ready for those matches, so I expect him to get a goal. Let's see what happens, man. It's going to be a close call for me, but one thing for sure, I don't feel like we're going to lose. So at the end of the day, I feel like we'll be satisfied with the result we leave the San Paolo with. Happy as hell if we manage to win and extend our lead, but content if we just don't lose and we still have the match in hand to go and push our lead up if we need to.
Yeah, keeping Napoli at arm's length with a draw even would be a great result. And depending on, you know, what Milan does tonight, maybe they go 120 minutes, maybe, you know, Sensi can do us a favor at Sampdoria. Yeah, I think we'll get some kind of result out of it, but Lautaro does need a goal. He has not scored since the 17th of December against Salernitana. So he needs a goal. Yeah, needs him a goal. At least in the league. I don't know if he scored. I don't remember if he scored in the Coppa match, but needs a goal. Yeah.
Krista, what do you think about the Napoli match?
Yeah, I was going to go around.
I mean, it's going to be an interesting match considering both teams have more to lose than they have to gain. And we have seen, you know, the Italian managers, coaches, whatever, be more wary about those kind of matches. Especially, as I said previously, it's a six-pointer match. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, a goal or two at most. And I think we'll win at least 1-0. I want to see Lautaro score after like what 2 months, as you said. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a nice comeback, and especially a guy that needs or is mainly playing on a morale boost and confidence.
Yeah, I mean, the last 2 years with Conte, I think we won both times in the São Paulo. I can't remember, but I think that's what it was.
I'll look it up.
Yes, thank you. But yeah, I can't remember a loss in the São Paulo since maybe that last year under Spalletti. I could be wrong there, but I don't know. That place used to worry me, you know, when Sarri ball was full swing down there. But I mean, we know Spalletti. He is what he is. He's having a good season. This could be the year he tries to pull it out. But I mean, with the experience we have with him, it's usually around this time that, you know, it's the fadeaway starts.
Yeah, but it's also important to mention that after Napoli, we pretty much would have gone through all our tougher matches, in my opinion, you know, except for Juve. We play Juve in April, but we already played Atalanta, we played Milan, we would have already played Napoli, Lazio, you know, so probably Roma. As you see, Roma is not much of a match for us this season. It's a team that I feel like we should easily beat again. So other than that Napoli match, man, we should be poised to have another one of those runs that we had earlier in the season. So let's see.
Yeah, because so we've been looking at, you know, this stretch for probably a couple of months now where it's, you know, we beat Lazio, we draw with Atalanta, you can deal with that. Lose to Milan, you don't want that. If you beat Napoli, that stretch I would consider, you know, pretty much a success. You never want to lose a derby, but that I think that would still be a success. We'd still be on top of the table. And I mean, I think all of us were like, yeah, like as long as you're within 2 points of the top, like we were kind of worst case scenarioing it. And I mean, that could still be what happens, but you win that match, you're in great shape, because then it's Sassuolo, Genoa, Coppa, Salernitana, Liverpool return leg, Torino, Fiorentina, then the Juve match, then Verona, Spezia, Coppa, Roma. Like, I mean, it's maybe one tougher match every week or two instead of like having a tough match like every few days.
Yeah, every 3 days, literally. That's where we've been at.
Oh, no, but yeah, I'm still confident. I'd take a draw, but I'm thinking a win, maybe a 2-1. Something really cagey. I think it's going to be, you know, one of those matches where neither team wants to lose. So I'm expecting not quite as easy as the last match against Napoli, where I think we were kind of surprised by the team a bit. That was a very, very frantic game at times too. All the goals flying in, Insigne almost scoring, Mertens almost scoring. It was a crazy match, but I'm confident. I'm not too worried. But we're pushing an hour here. I know Milan and Lazio have started up, and we want to get to preying on their downfall. So, yeah, does anybody have any remarks?
Can I just get a few words in? All right, so, Statman Ian. Since Conte was appointed, we won in Naples 3-1. We won 1-0. We drew 1-1, and that's it from what I can see. We haven't lost there in the three games that we played since Conte came to Inter, which is like 3 years. We haven't lost there in 3 years. They obviously had, what, Gattuso, Spalletti, and Ancelotti there before, even after Sarri. So the team obviously had a big, big turnaround. Honestly, I think we can win. It's not impossible. Spalletti, we know what he's capable of during his time here at the Mazza. We know how shaky he can be. I think it's good. We could get a positive result. Second thing, Mikey, you said something about Inzaghi not winning in Naples.
Yeah, that's what I had seen. I'm just repeating what I've seen.
Inzaghi drew, lost 4-1, lost 2-1, lost 1-0, lost 3-1, and lost 5-2.
Ouch.
So we will see. albeit it was with the Lazio side, not with the Campioni d'Italia Inter, but still.
Yeah. I mean, he started off on a good note, beating them, you know, at home. I think that was a good note to start on. I mean, of course, there were extenuating circumstances. We talk about Anguissa, who I think got injured in that match. Of course, Osimhen got injured in that match. I think they were missing someone else, but we were also, of course, missing De Vrij. We had Ranocchia, but now we're missing Bastoni. There are just a lot of storylines going into this match that, you know, could tip it one way or another for me.
We'll see.
Yeah. Anybody else? Final remarks on anything? Even Liverpool, if you want to be looking far ahead. Risto. Oh, he's pointing upwards to Ian. I guess he wants him to outro this.
Corporate outro time. No one wants to say anything else.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. Let's get it.
Oh, you're not going to do the big screen again?
I was trying not to kick you out first again.
not again.
Yeah, all right, here you go. 2-1, go.
Doesn't matter, because I'm too good. So, thank you for watching us live or listening on our various streaming platforms. Check us out on Twitter at BOTW Podcast. We are also on Instagram at BOTW Podcast, on Facebook at Brothers of the World Podcast. All our other links are in our link tree in the bios of these social medias. Thank you for 150 subscribers on YouTube. Yes, 150 now. Who knew? All our personal Twitters are linked in the Twitter bio. Any sponsorships or collaborations, IFTV, I know you're watching. Hit us up in the DMs. You can also write to me. And with all that, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening later.